Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. Awesome. God is good. Amen. Amen. That's good news. I love that. All right. Anything else? All right. Let's go before the Lord in prayer then. We'll get started here. Father, we thank you for those that are here today, God. We know where two or three got your name, there you are in the midst of us. So, Father, we invite your spirit here. We invite your just your presence to be in this place, to fill it with your glory, God. We thank you for the testimony, God, of Judy's colon. We thank you, God, for your healing power, for all you've done, for your strength, your mercy, your grace. God, you are so worthy of praise. God, we thank you for that. We just give you all the honor and glory and praise for that, God. We just pray now for those, God, that are here today. God, you know the need for some, God. We know the reason for others. We just pray, God, for Randy as he pulls back out, Lord. We just pray for strength and healing, God, for those in the family fighting colds and stuff, for Melissa fighting the head cold. We just know, God, it's that time of the year. But, God, you are a healer nonetheless. So we just thank you for that. We give you all the honor and glory and praise for your healing power. We know that by your stripes we are healed. We just trust in your promises. We trust in your word, God, for your word is true. And so, God, we just thank you for that. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen. Now, before I get started, I just have one video for you because next week's a special day, in case you didn't know. So check this out.
So Valentine's Day is coming up. What are you getting your wife?
Nothing.
I don't think it works that way. Nothing?
Nothing.
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 Oh. Diabolical.
Yep, this year for Valentine's Day, I'm the present.
Oh, can I please be here when you tell her that?
Look, as if our wedding vows weren't enough. Through the years, I power washed the deck. I YouTubed how to build a walk-in closet. I even changed the toilet paper roll. Sometimes without even being asked. I took her to Graceland twice.
But Graceland isn't a two-trip kind of place.
And do you know where she has her weekly women's Bible study every Monday night?
Do I want to know?
Right over there, in front of my 70-inch crystal clear True Tone LED while I sit in the back room watching Monday Night Football on my kid's cracked iPad.
You saint.
So, this year, no presents, just presents.
What'd you just say?
I'm not getting her any presents. I'm giving her presents.
So, let me get this straight. For Valentine's Day, you're not getting her any presents with a T. You're giving her your presents with a C.
That's what I said. Presents, not presents.
Diabolical.
Hey, honey.
Yeah?
As you can imagine, Valentine's Day did not go well for Jerry this year. Don't be a Jerry. Make those you love feel special.
So don't be a Jerry next week. It's Valentine's Day. Don't forget. Amen? Huh? Yeah, I don't know. We're going out today. We'll see. No, we'll do something next week too. Trust me. An art thief once stole some very expensive paintings from the Louvre in Paris. He took two Van Goghs, a couple of Monets, even a Degrasse, and some other paintings. Everything went perfectly, except he was captured sitting in his van with the paintings only two blocks from the museum. His van had run out of fuel. When asked by the police how he could plan such a wonderful, successful robbery and then be fooled by, such a simple error, he replied, "I had no money to buy Degas to make the Van Gogh." And that's what I want to talk to you about today. No, not stealing paintings from the Louvre. But I want to talk about what was stolen. And that was the masterpiece. Do I need to give you a few minutes here? I'll wait. I'll give you a few minutes. I'll pause. I'll take my time.
Give me.
Oh, hopefully you got enough gas to fill your Van Gogh. Okay. Today we're going to start a new series on the call one. And guess what? This is week one. And I'll talk about a masterpiece. Let me just start with this huge detail. You were created in the image of God. You are a masterpiece made for a purpose. Amen. Repeat it after me. I am a masterpiece. Now, say it like you mean it. Now say it like you know it.
I'm a masterpiece.
Thank you. I am a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. And guess what? And guess what? There's only one of you. That I was not going to say that. There's nobody like you. What that means is that you have a reason to be and a purpose to fulfill.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to explore that today, what that looks like for us as believers to live as one. But before we do that, I need to talk about something that's related, but yet totally opposite, and that's independence. We are taught from a very young age to be self-sufficient. We are told to fend for ourselves because that's what makes us strong. Those who can't go it alone are oftentimes viewed as weak or at least as less capable of those that can. I recall a conversation in my house dinner table once. I'm not sure who brought it up. I'm not sure how it came up. I'm not sure why it came up. I don't remember anything about the details except for this. My whole family was sitting on the dinner table eating. That's always a good place to be rather than running around the table, don't you think? We're sitting at the dinner table eating, and somehow someone said, if mom dies, will dad get remarried? Now, before I could respond, my loving son John blurts out, of course he would. He can't take care of himself. Now I must admit, I'm spoiled. Joy takes very good care of me. But I must say that as long as there's restaurants, I can at least fend for myself, I can eat. So we're good. I mean, at least I have that. But all joking aside, I think many of us value our independence, our individualism, if you will, above almost everything else. But we weren't created for that. It may feel sort of counterintuitive to be truth, but the truth is we were created and called to live in community. Let me just make it a little more personal. You were called to live in community. We were never meant to be alone. In the book of Genesis, God creates man. Creates Adam, and then he says this in Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So God realized that man was not good to be alone. Now, it wasn't just because he might need, a buddy or get lonely from time to time. It's because God wired us to live life together. He created us and called us to live in community. The problem is, many of us don't want to do that. I don't think it's because we're anti-community. It's more because we, maybe don't understand it. We've been taught to do life independently. We don't know what we're missing sometimes by having community. We don't want to live in community simply because we don't know how to live in community. And as a result, most of us are too far focused on being individuals. Now listen, God made us unique. And as I mentioned, there's only one of you. So understand, I'm not suggesting to be like everyone else. God made you to be you, so be you. He didn't create cookie cutter creatures. He made us all unique and individuals. But it's more to the point that individualism has been more like I'm an island. I can do this. I'm, you know, sufficient enough. I'm self-sufficient. I can handle it on myself. And that is not how God designed it to be. And that type of individualism has robbed us of our joy, our strength, and even hope that so many are desperate for. And the only way to break the habit of doing life alone, the only way to experience the life that we were truly meant to live, is to learn how to live and be surrounded by others in community. And that's what this series is going to talk about. That's what it's all about. A little bit starting today and next couple weeks. Talk about, you know, being individuals yet unique and yet being needing each other. You know, next week we'll talk about that a little bit more and go on that. We're going to learn how to do that. The next couple weeks we're going to go and explore what it looks like to live life in community. Not just a group of different individuals, but we're going to learn what it looks like to live as one. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says this, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there is no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought." Let me read that once more from the Passion Translation. It says this, "I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to agree to live in unity with one another and put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Be restored as one united body, living in perfect harmony, from a consistent choreography among yourselves, having a common perspective with shared values." I love that. That's what it's about, living as one. You need to understand this. It's far more important than most of us even realize. Not just because doing life alone is lacking, but because we are each wonderfully and uniquely created to be a part of a community. And through that community, transform our world. The church is called to transform the world. Amen? And yet when we are divided and, you know, divide and conquer, it's like when you fight one another within the body of Christ, you cannot have the impact that the world needs to see it to be transformed. John 17:23 tells us this, "I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, that the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Unity will allow people to see the love of Jesus within us, that it can flow through us, that it can transform and impact the world around us. That's what it's all about. This means we must learn to do life together. We must learn to do life with others. And listen, I know, trust me, I know. Life with others can be difficult. It can be messy. You know, I mean, people are people. And because we're different, because we're unique, because God made us all different, not the same, we all have different ways of doing things. Amen? It's not like we're just all the same, you know, but God wants to be on the same page and same thing when it comes to the body of Christ. And that's what we're trying to talk about today. But I know that living life in community can be messy because we deal with people. But we learn to live life as a unified, united community. There is nothing, I mean nothing, that can stop us from doing what God wants us to do. So if we're going to learn to live in community, do life in community, transform our world as a community, we need to understand a couple things about ourselves. And that's what I want to explore today. So let's begin in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, have you ever discovered the reason, one of the reasons, that we tend to struggle to connect with others in community? Sometimes it's not them, but it's us. Now, I know that's not always popular or easy to hear, to swallow, but and I'm not saying it's always the case either. And the truth is sometimes it just takes some honest thinking. But when you've had 8 jobs in 8 years, and all of them, you know, in because you have all the excuses of why you can't perform and do what they want you to do and show up and things like that, you need to ask yourself, what's the common denominator? When you've been married 5 times and none of them have worked out like you expected, you need to ask yourself, what's the common denominator? When you've been to, you know, you've left 6 churches because something happened and you got offended, you need to ask yourself, what's the common denominator? Does that make sense? Sometimes, you know, honest thinking, sometimes it's tough. And I'm not saying there aren't times that others have left us out to dry. There's not times that they've rejected us. We've all been there. Amen? I'm also not saying that, you know, you've never been the victim of others' hurtful actions. I'm well aware of the fact that we have. But if we're honest, there have been times that when we don't do well in community, it's because of us. And I think the reason is that we just don't quite understand who or what we are.
You're a masterpiece.
And we don't do well because we also don't understand who others are. And if we're going to learn to live in community, we must learn who and what we are and what that means for how we live our lives. So, what am I? What are you? How does that impact our life? Let me give you an answer. I've already mentioned it a couple times. Any ideas? You're a masterpiece. That's your answer. Plain and simple. You're a masterpiece. And how does knowing the fact that I'm a masterpiece impact my life? Or maybe the better question is, how should it impact my life and your life? See, when you live like a masterpiece, it transforms the world around you. And that's the point. You are a masterpiece. I'll say it again. You are a masterpiece. I'll probably say it a few more times before we get done today. You are a masterpiece. So act like it. That's the one thing I want you to take home today is your masterpiece, so act like it. Let's look at our text one more time. Ephesians 2:10, it said this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The word handiwork or workmanship can also be translated masterpiece. Let me read it from the Passion Translation once more. It says this, "We have become His poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. You were created by God, for God, in the image of God. So how do I act like a masterpiece? Number one, live out your purpose. Live out your purpose. As God's masterpiece, you were created on purpose for a purpose. Let me say that again. As God's masterpiece, you were created on purpose for a purpose. You were not a mistake. Simply put, you have a job to do. Because you are God's masterpiece, created for good works, which He prepared well in advance before you even a twinkle in your mommy and daddy's eyes, you have a job to do. And one of the greatest ways you can honor God, one of the greatest ways you is just live out your purpose, is to do the job you were created to do. You may be a masterpiece, but if you're not living as though you are, if you're not doing what you're called to do, if you're not doing the job you're created to do, then you aren't living out your full destiny, your full potential. Let me explain it this way. A vintage car is a masterpiece. I don't think you'd ever use that car to haul the traveling soccer team to next game. That's why this great invention called minivans. It's a masterpiece. If you had a vintage guitar, that, my friends, is what they call a masterpiece. You would not allow your 7-year-old to bang on it and take the show and tell. You wouldn't do it. Let me just, put that in perspective for you. Have you ever seen the TV show Pawn Stars? Ever watched that? Pawn, P-A-W-N. Yeah. Pawn Stars. Someone brought in Mary Ford's guitar. Now, she was the ex-wife of Les Paul. Les Paul was a big... Now, this is a guitar that Mary Ford had played. They had papers on it, actually. One of her nephews brought the car and that she gave this guitar to. He brought it in. That guitar, this Les Paul's, Mary Ford's, Gibson guitar was a 1961 Gibson. It fetched the incredible price of $90,000. It was a masterpiece. Your 9-year-old, 7-year-old, your teenage kid's not going to be banging on it, playing it to Sunday school, and, that's just not what it's made for. It's a vintage. It's a masterpiece. Amen? If you had an original Mona Lisa, you wouldn't use it to cover a hole in the back bathroom, nor is used to put, on the bottom of your birdcage. It's a masterpiece, so you use it for what its purpose. You use it for the value it's used for. You use it according to its value. And since you are a masterpiece, you need to live up to your purpose. You need to be used for what you were created to be used for. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. Because God recognized that we are His masterpieces. He made us. And He doesn't want us to be devalued. And yet sometimes we allow others to devalue us. We allow ourselves to devalue us. We allow the world to devalue us. We allow the church, and I'll talk about this more next week, to devalue us. And God made us all for a purpose. As individuals, yes, but the living community as one. So what's your job? What were you created for? Do you know? Do you even care? Do you want to know? Unlike some of the messages, I'm going to tell you.
Thank you, Lord.
Your job, what you're created for, is ultimately to represent Jesus. What does that mean? It means how you treat others, how you have conversations, how you manage your time, your money, your relationships, how you take care of yourself. It all matters. It all matters. So if you're going to be a masterpiece, if you're going to live up to your purpose, then you need to ask yourself, how am I representing Jesus? Don't ever, for a moment, think what you're doing doesn't matter. Never think that. That is a lie from the pit of hell. When you show up here at church, it matters. It's part of community. One in thought, one in spirit, one in thought and mind, and in unified agreement to worship the Lord. And when you represent Jesus wherever you are living a life of enormous value and purpose. You are doing your job. Even if the situation sometimes seems boring, meaningless, mundane, whatever. Your job is to reflect Jesus to the world around you. So you need to ask yourself, what am I reflecting? The second way you act like a masterpiece is you need to recognize the value of others. Recognize the value of others. Just like you were created in the image of God, so are they. They may not believe it. They may not know it. They may not understand it. They may not agree with it. It doesn't matter. They were still made in the image of God. They were still made as God's masterpiece. And you, as God's masterpiece, need to realize that everyone you interact with was made in His image, just like you. And if everyone else is also a masterpiece, then you have to ask yourself, how am I treating others? Stop and think just for a minute. Just stop and think just for a moment. We, okay, at least I, love the idea that I'm God's masterpiece. I don't know if you like it or not, I love it. I love that thought. I'm God's masterpiece. I love the idea that I'm made in the image of God. But if it's true, and it is, by the way, then understand that everyone else is also made in the image of God. And doing life in community only works when we recognize, when we realize that we were all made in God's image, and then recognize everyone else is made the same as well. That's what Paul was talking about when he wrote these words to one of Jesus' communities in the first century. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 said this: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you the interests of the others." Now let me read this once more from the Passion Translation. Listen to it. "Be free from pride-filled opinions." Ouch. "For they will harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. Do nothing out of selfish ambition." That means we don't manipulate things to get our way. "Do nothing out of vain conceit." Selfish ambition and vanity are the status quo of our culture that we live in. Don't believe me? Walk the checkout line of any store and see the magazines of how perfect you gotta look. That's vanity. Look at the self-help books in any bookstore and just, you know, how to improve yourself without a God. That's selfish ambition. It's around us. It surrounds us every day of our life. You can't avoid it. But Paul is saying, for those who follow Jesus, he's saying, no, that's not how masterpieces work. That's not how masterpieces treat other masterpieces.
Hallelujah.
Instead, we learn to value others above ourselves. This is what Jesus did. This is how Jesus lived. And I'll tell you what it did. Let's be honest. Jesus impacted humanity in a very positive way. Except because he put himself lower than he should have, for he was God robed in flesh. Lower than he needed to, but he humbled himself and put others first because he said, "I come to be my Father's business." And when we live like this, we reflect Jesus to the world. In fact, Paul follows up that verse in Philippians with this in 2, 5, and 7. It says this: "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." What other king has left his throne? And hold himself from all humanity to see, which changed the world in such an incredible way. The way a masterpiece treats a masterpiece is by making yourself a humble servant just like Christ. And do you know the best way to do that? Just go back to your purpose. Go back to the job you've been given. Reflect Jesus to the world around you by loving them, serving them, honoring them. I preached a series of messages years ago on being honorable. And the whole thing was then we don't honor because they're honorable. We honor because we're honorable. That young mom who, you know, how does she treat her kids? How does she love and honor them? That husband to his wife, who how is he serving? How is he loving and honoring her? That wife to her husband, how is she serving and loving and honoring him? At your job, how are you serving them? Online with Facebook, how are you reflecting Jesus to them? You were created by God, and you are a masterpiece. Everyone who came in contact, that you came in contact with, was created by God. Everyone you rub shoulders with, everyone you, you know, whatever, work with and live with and meet, just strangers on the street, every one of them was created by God, which makes them a masterpiece as well. So if you're going to be one, if we're going to be one, if we're going to get community right, then we have to recognize that we are all masterpieces and we need to act like we are. So what's your takeaway? I'm about to close. So if you'll come get something ready. I'm about to give up and say good for today. So Joy, if you'll just get something to sing and come back forward. What's our takeaway? What do we do with all this anyway? What do we glean from our discussion today? Here's three things. Three steps, if you will, I want you to take away today. Step number one is this. Pray for God to help you realize you are a masterpiece. Pray for God to help you realize you are a masterpiece. Ask Him to reveal it to you. Show it to you. Whatever way He chooses, ask Him to show you your value in His eyes. And Him to help you see yourself the way He sees you. Because when you do that, I'll tell you, it changes your whole perspective on life. When you realize just how truly good God is, how truly much God loves and cares and cherishes His children, it changes you. Step two. Ask Him to help you see others the way He sees them. Help to show you how to serve and love those masterpieces that you come in contact with every day. I tell you, Scripture says that they'll know My disciples by their love. Not their disunity. Not their, you know, whatever. They'll know by their love. The love we have for one another, the one we have for each other, the one we have for the world that doesn't know Him. Listen, I've been through ringers. I've been there, bought the t-shirt. I had people that I was thinking, God, how can you even care for them? I've met them. I've worked with some. But when you realize that they are masterpieces, it does something inside you that you just realize, wait a second, they just don't understand how truly grateful they are to have a loving Father. They just don't understand He's their dad. And so we love them the way God wants to love them. When we just care for them, the way God wants us to care for them, and serve them, we God wants to serve them. It Scripture says this, it's like heaping hot coals upon their head. When they mistreat you and you love them, it's like, check this out. I'll never forget, there's a guy at work that just, him and I have not always seen eye to eye. Not a believer. I try at work to be a representation of Jesus well. I do my best. Sometimes I struggle, like many of us. But the Holy Spirit always has a way of making it come full circle. And this one that I don't always see eye to eye with, he came to me one time and we talked about something. And I made a comment that I knew, because he's one that just doesn't keep things to himself so much. I knew my boss would find out. I just realized how fast my boss find out. I mean, it was like, you know, 10 minutes later, so I hear you can't work for me anymore. Like, yeah, I said that. I said, by the way, did he tell you this? I justified my thing with what he said that I did not repeat to the boss, but I just said, did he tell you about that? I said, did he tell you this situation? He goes, well, no. I said, oh. Figures he's not that part that would make him look bad. Me look bad in the process. So they just went, I'm mad at the world at this point. I'm just frustrated. Knowing that I shouldn't be frustrated because I was the one that did to begin with, to know that it was going to come back to me anyway. So it's like, I don't know why I was frustrated, but I was. And so I'm now working the machine I'm working right next to him. He's here. I'm here. We're that close. And I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit say, you need to apologize. I hear myself say, no, I don't. You ever argue with the Holy Spirit or God? You ever argue with them? It really is not beneficial. I mean, I've done it. It might make us feel better at the time, but it really, you always lose. And so the Holy Spirit says, you need to apologize. I says, no, I don't. I mean, it's been like 3 or 4 times, and you know, a matter of a minute or two. Oh yeah, it was like, you know, I'm one of those guys that, you know, it sometimes takes a little bit to get to my thick skull. It just sometimes doesn't, you know, I mean, I knew it was the Holy Spirit, wasn't me, trust me. You know, here's how the Holy Spirit speaks. Sometimes, not always the same way, but a lot of times he'll say things that I would never do myself that are not contrary to it. They don't contradict his word. They just, you know, it's something I would not do myself. I had no intention of apologizing. So I hear this voice said, you need to apologize. I knew it wasn't me. I mean, I don't have to have, you know, some angel have stopped the donkey in Balaam and have the donkey talk to me. I knew at this point I was the donkey. I just need to speak. So the Holy Spirit said, you need, I said, no, I don't. And but the truth, we just stopped talking. Finally, I went over and I just said, I'm sorry. I never should have said what I said. And he had utter silence. He didn't say, nope, I deserved it. He didn't say, thank you. He said, absolute nothing. He was, as Scripture said, as Jesus was to his shearers, as was silent. You just tell me, just because the Holy Spirit took some deep coals, began to pour it on his head to say, see, that's what honoring masterpieces is all about. Step 3. Start serving. Start loving. Start honoring. Don't wait for the perfect time. Don't wait until you feel like it. In the words of Nike, just do it. If we're going to find unity and be one, it's important just to recognize and others as masterpieces that God created us to be. Father, today, I am so grateful that I'm your masterpiece. Father, I just ask your Holy Spirit right now to just come and speak to our hearts. If there's people that we've treated in our lives that not like masterpieces, then show us, forgive us, and help us. God, if there's people here listening online that don't recognize that they are indeed God's masterpiece, if they just don't get that concept, that idea, they just don't believe it, then I just pray right now, God, show them how much you love them. Speak to our hearts, dear God. Just wrap your love, your loving arms on each individual. Wrap your arms of love and mercy around each one, God, and hug them with an everlasting love that shows them their value, their worth, that they're masterpieces. Let us not believe another lie. The world tells, the church tells us, the people tell us, ourselves tell us. Let us always, God, use what you've given us to honor you and glorify you in the midst of everything we do. God, we are masterpieces. Help us to act like that, so that we can help the world encounter you. Transform our church, transform our community, transform the world around us. By the grace and the mercy of the God that's in us. We call out to you today, Father. Ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us in every step we take. In Jesus' name. And the church said,
James Reed.
Two of Nicholas's therapy sessions.